This is the problem. This is the problem with Krishna, that he cannot forget the inhabitants of Vrindavan. And so he is just repeatedly, time and time again, almost constantly, just going off into some sort of trance of remembrance of them, and just leaving within his mind, leaving Dwarka behind. So Uddhava appeals. He says, I beg you again and again, please do not ask me to say more about this. Because Uddhava knows this is the problem. This is why they're all there outside Krishna's room. Why they're all there in a state of shock. Why they don't know what to do. Because he knows if we talk about it more, it's going to make it worse. Which it does. Because after all, when you start getting into subjects like this, particularly Uddhava, Narada Muni, and these devotees, when they start discussing things like this, they cannot stop. So then, knowing the inner meaning of Uddhava's words, Rohini spoke with tears in her eyes. Now, how did she know the inner meaning of Uddhava's words? I mean, what were Uddhava's words? All he said was, I went to Vrindavan and I saw something. He didn't say what he saw. He couldn't say what he saw. He said, I just went there. And what I saw crushed my pride in being fortunate into dust. So now, how did Rohini know what he was talking about, even though he didn't say it? Because she had been there. And she had seen these things with her own eyes. So now, what we're going to see, this is an interesting point. Now there's going to be a number of people are going to speak in terms of their own realizations or their own experiences with Krishna, with the inhabitants of Vrindavan, and basically like that. Rohini. Now some of them, like Rohini, like Uddhava, and Lord Balaram, some of them have been to Vrindavan and seen, and they know these people, they have met these people, the inhabitants of Vrindavan. They know what they're like. They know how they love Krishna. So they're very sympathetic to Krishna, and they want some other arrangement to be made other than Krishna going back. Anyway, let us just see how it unfolds. But it really is interesting. And then you've got Padmavati, who is just like a, I don't know, what's the right word? Sort of like a mega spanner in the works. She is just coming from another realm of consciousness altogether, as we'll see. So Rohini, she understood the inner meaning of Uddhava's words, that I saw something. What I saw, it affected me so much. So with tears in her eyes, then she began to speak. Let us read what she said. Alas, dear servant of Sri Hari, the residents of Vraja have, by evil fate, been all but slain. They have lost the last trace of good fortune and are drowning in an ocean of gloom. There they suffer, poisoned and scorched, in the flames of an underwater fire. That must be quite something. So please, do not destroy my few moments of happiness by reminding me of them. Here in Dorica, I had kind of forgotten about them for the last few minutes. And, you know, how much they're suffering. But now you're reminding me. So please do not destroy my moment of happiness by reminding me of them. When Sri Vasudev brought me back from Gokula, the cries of the greatly distraught Yashoda made even stones shed. So she says that I came back and I told Krishna about this, but all he did was send Uddhava with a message. Just see. What type of reaction was that? Is this, this didn't help at all. Is this really his mercy? And she says, even when the demons would come and attack Vrindavan, those bridge busses, usually they didn't worry very much, maybe momentarily sometimes. But they always felt protected by Krishna, so it was never really a problem. Yeah, for themselves at least, they were not worried. But they were worried for Krishna. But it seems like Krishna is not worried about them. He just went to Mathura to satisfy his other devotees. And he forgot them. So she is very sympathetic to the Vrijbasis and a little critical of Krishna. Then the crazy Padmavati speaks, criticizing the Vrijbasis. Now, Padmavati, yes, she is very extraordinary. She is Ugrasena's wife, so she's the queen of Dwarka. She is very, very important person in Dwarka. But she is crazy. Actually, she is kind of degraded. In her younger days, well, one demon named Drumila disguised himself as Ugrasena and had sex with her. The result was Kamsa. And she was very attached to Krishna. And Sanatana Goswami says that when Kamsa was killed by Krishna, Padmavati lamented uncontrollably. Everyone else was happy. Kamsa. Well, she's kind of attached to Krishna. But I meant to say then, if I said Krishna, I meant to say Kamsa. Yeah. So she says, just see, since childhood, our Krishna, in the forest full of thorns, has guarded the cows of those merciless cowherds. They never even gave him shoes. And when tormented by hunger, he sometimes ate a little bit of their milk products. The cowherd women punished him by tying him with rope. And they scolded him abusively. When he was young, Krishna had no choice but to tolerate all that pain. But what does he have to do for those people now? So, you can see where she stands. She is not sympathetic to the Vrijbasis. So, but Rohini continues speaking, just like ignoring Padmavati, which basically everyone does.
and continuing to kind of criticize Krishna. She says, oh, well, now Krishna's in Mathura or Dwarka. He is the king of rulers of kings. He's worshipped by the demigods. He no longer thinks of the Brijvasis. Who's Rohini? So then, Rukmini, Krishna's first queen, who's deeply attached to Krishna, she does not appreciate what Rohini has said. And yeah, she doesn't appreciate that. She doesn't appreciate Padmavati that much either. So she says, now she's going to describe the situation now with Krishna. What this whole problem is about, why they've all gathered there and they're all just so disturbed. What is wrong now with Krishna? My dear mother, she's speaking to, well, I guess Rohini. You don't understand the inner feelings of Krishna at all. His heart is softer than newly churned butter. Why are you saying these things? Just hear from me what I have heard. Sometimes at night, he says this and that in his sleep. Sometimes in a most sweet voice, he lovingly calls his cows by name in his sleep. Sometimes he calls his girlfriends or some of the cowherd boys. And sometimes while asleep, he acts as if placing his flute to his mouth and assumes his enchanting threefold bending form. That must be quite something. While he is asleep in bed, he does this. Assumes his tribhanga sundar form. Threefold bending form, like on the altar. But in his sleep. While asleep, he sometimes says, Mother, give me some fresh butter. Sometimes he calls out to me, Oh, Sri Radha. Or, Oh, Lalita. Sometimes he pulls on my sari and asks me, Chandravali, what are you doing? And sometimes he drenches the pillow on his bed with floods of tears. Then at times he suddenly wakes up, rises from bed, and cries in a pitiful voice, drowning us in an ocean of pain and grief. Just last night, he must have seen something in a dream, because today he has been weeping sorrowfully and is beside himself with agitation. Now he is lying in bed as if asleep, his sheets pulled over his head. He has not even performed his morning duties. So this is the problem. Krishna has become incapacitated due to separation from the inhabitants of Vrindavan. He has become just incapable of functioning in Dwarka because of his separation and his feelings for the inhabitants of Vrindavan. So then Satyabhama speaks. She is, of course, like Rukmini, you could say, pro-Krishna. I mean, not that Rohini is anti-Krishna, but she just doesn't appreciate the fact that he hasn't gone back. He just wrote a letter. It's like, not first class, it's something like that. But Rukmini, she is very pro-Krishna. And so is Satyabhama. Satyabhama corrects Rukmini by saying that it is not only at night while sleeping that he does this. He does this while he is awake also. So this is a serious problem in Dwarka. Krishna is becoming progressively more and more bewildered due to separation from Vrindavan, separation from the inhabitants of Vrindavan. So that is Rukmini and Satyabhama in favor of Krishna, you could say, or very sympathetic to Krishna. Now Lord Balaram will speak, supporting Rohini. Now remember, Lord Balaram has recently been in Vrindavan, so he knows. Therefore, he supports Rohini in that he is highly sympathetic to the inhabitants of Vrindavan and not so appreciative of Krishna that he hasn't gone back. So Lord Balaram, he actually became angry with Rukmini and Satyabhama and said, no, he's deceiving us. That's all. Lord Balaram says, I was there. I was there for 2 months. And I tried to help them to get over their separation from Krishna. I couldn't do it. He says, I promised them hundreds of times that don't worry. As soon as I get back, I guarantee I will get Krishna to return. He promised hundreds of times in 2 months. He must have been promising a lot. Must have been a big subject matter, a regular subject of discussion. So he promised hundreds of times, as soon as I get back, I'll definitely get Krishna to come. Somehow he escaped. It was extremely difficult, but somehow he escaped. He hurried back. And he appealed to Krishna as soon as he saw him. Please, you have to go back to Vrindavan. Krishna said, certainly, I will go back. But he didn't. So Lord Balaram closes by saying, you can know a person's heart. He says, a person may say so many things, but it may be deceptive. But you can know a person's heart from the way he acts. So he is not impressed with Krishna. He's not impressed. So then, Krishna in the next room heard the discussion. He came out weeping loudly and spoke in a choked voice, criticizing himself that I am so hard-hearted. My heart must be so hard, it's like a diamond. Otherwise, by now, there's no doubt. If it wasn't like hard like a diamond, it would have shattered into pieces by now. There's no doubt. So he laments, Krishna laments, that I forgot about their love. I have to do something to help them. I've been very cruel to them. So then, what does he do? He turns to Uddhava and says, please advise me. Yes, this is Krishna. But we know what Uddhava is going to say. He's already said it, really. You've got to go back. Now. Just go. Immediately. So Devaki, now Devaki, she's in an interesting position. She is kind of in between. Because she is a resident of Dwarka. She belongs there. That's her natural place. But she has been, briefly she visited Gokula. So she has some idea, but not so much. So she interrupts and says, yes, you should give them what they want. In the purport, it is pointed out that this is a subtle way of saying, don't go. Find out what they want and we'll try and do something about it, but don't go. You should give them what they want. Padmavati, hearing this, becomes frightened. She understands that Devaki means, don't go there. Give them what they want. She thinks that Krishna may get so carried away because there's such strong feelings, and Krishna has such strong feelings also, to appease the inhabitants of Vrindavan. She is afraid Krishna may give them Dwarka. So Ugrasena, Nanda Maharaj will become the king. Ugrasena will no longer be the king, and she will no longer be the queen. So, afraid that this may happen as a kind of in-between gesture to appease the bridge busses but not have Krishna go there. So then she speaks in a light-hearted way, trying to be kind of clever. But of course no one takes this seriously, and for extremely good reason. She says that I know that Krishna and Balaram, they were living there under the protection of Nanda Maharaj for about 11 years. And it must have been inconvenient for Nanda Maharaj. It must have been costly. So just send a message. She thinks that maybe Nanda Maharaj is upset because it costs so much to maintain Krishna and Balaram. Send a message immediately that allow him to calculate what the cost was, and we will give him double that to compensate him. And we will get the amount calculated exactly by Garga Muni, who's a big Brahman and who's very expert. He'll do it very precisely. And we will make sure that he personally delivers that money, double the amount. And if Nanda Maharaj feels that he owes Krishna any money for all the work he did, herding the cows every day, then tell him he doesn't have to pay if he doesn't want to. This is her suggestion. And everyone just carries on with their conversation, just disregarding what she has said. So now Krishna acts as if he didn't hear what Padmavati said and asks Uddhava, please tell me, what do they want? Following what Devaki had said. She had said, of course she had a different meaning, but she had said, yes, they should be given what they want. So Krishna asks Uddhava, you please tell me, what do they want? So Uddhava explains that they don't really want anything but you. He takes it like when Krishna says, what do they want? Like Krishna's suggesting they want, you know, some money or some ornaments or some valuables or something, you know, sort of like some bribery, something like that. Uddhava says that when I went, you gave me some ornaments and jewelry, which I gave to them. And I expected when they received these gifts from you, I expected they'd be very happy. But actually they became even more grief-stricken. They said that, does Krishna think that this is what we're interested in? Does Krishna think that this is what we want from him? So does he think that this is what we deserve? A few ornaments, a few jewels and things? Is that what we deserve? Is that what we are worth to him? So they became very devastated. But then Uddhava said, they only want you. And when I gave them these jewels, they condemned themselves for still living in your absence. And they immediately on the spot, they began fasting to death in front of me. But then Nanda Maharaj came and convinced them that it was all right, that Krishna will be coming back shortly and he wants you to wear these ornaments when he comes back. And when he sees you wearing these ornaments and this jewelry, he'll be very happy. So that sort of pacified the bridge busis, because Nanda Maharaj was sure that Krishna would be back shortly. But then Krishna didn't go back. He just sent Uddhava with a kind of strange message. And when Uddhava spoke that message, the inhabitants of Vrindavan almost died in disappointment. This is one of the verses. Krishna speaking to the gopis. You are never actually separated from me, for I am the soul of all creation. Just as the elements of nature, ether, air, fire, water and earth, are present in every created thing, so I am present within everyone's mind, life, air and senses, and also within the physical elements and the modes of material nature. So what is he saying? I am the super soul. Just realize that I'm present in that form everywhere, and then you won't feel separation from me. Oh, but they didn't like that. The inhabitants of Vrindavan, they didn't like that at all. That they are meant to now meditate on the super soul rather than have their personal relationships with Krishna? This is out of the question. Completely out of the question. So Uddhava then, who's very expert, made every effort to convince them that Krishna will definitely be coming soon. just to keep them alive. That's all. And then they attained an amazing state of renunciation and fixedness on Krishna returning. So it's very amazing. In other words, Uddhava says,